I'm Chris.
I'm Steve.
And we're talking about some deep shit. If you listen to episode zero, that was just us sort of setting the table, but now we're digging into it.
Here we are.
So we are going to talk about UFOs. The cheesy sound effect comes in.
Well, it pops into some people's heads.
Where are you coming from on the UFO topic?
I am open to any possibility. How about you?
Definitely. What brought you to dig them?
I remember when I was a kid. I'm dating myself, but some of us watched Happy Days, and then Mork made his appearance in that egg.
The weirdest cameo for a show that was supposed to be about the 1950s and be very authentic. And at one point they just went, let's bring in an alien.
Here's Mork.
All right, Mork shows up on Happy Days. All right, we don't question it. And then he spun off to have his own show set in the 70s.
Right. The time gap wasn't explained
at all.
We just went with it. Yeah. Out in Boulder, Colorado, I think is where that was. What sparked your interest? What was the nexus of you even thinking about this type of thing?
That's a good question. I actually don't know. I mean, at some point, I was really into it. I mean, at one point in the 90s, early 90s, mid-90s, who knows? I mean, I had actually joined MUFON, which is the Mutual UFO Network or something like that. I had books on UFOs.
Oh, really?
Oh, I was totally into it. And then I just... it wasn't going anywhere. You know, most people considered it crap, not real. And then, you know, there was no confirmation. It always seemed like the next big thing, you know, was going to come out and nothing ever did. And I just drifted away. It's a dense topic. So the way I want to approach it for the people who are listening, you don't have to have followed this stuff. You think UFOs, it's a funny topic. People crazy, see stuff, whatever. But stuff's been happening.
Whatever you might think about what's happening, I'm not sure exactly what I think of everything that's happening, but some of the things that are happening are certainly interesting to talk about and interesting to explore.
And unprecedented. All right. You know, the topic of UFOs, it's been around, you know, forever. Right? We can talk about that at some point. You know, there's a long, long history. Some people say Roswell 1947. I mean, supposedly there's accounts going back hundreds, if not thousands of years of weird stuff. But in any case, you know, the government always said, there's nothing to this. This is all crap. We looked into it. It's people are crazy. Folks be tripping.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. It's all fine. And that's how most people just sort of took the topic. Like, okay, yeah, the government tells me there's nothing to worry about. People who think it is crazy. But then and something really, really weird happened. The government came out and said, 2017, they said, you know how, we've been saying this stuff's a load of crap for like 50 years. Yeah, actually, yeah, we lied. Not only do we not think it's crap, we've actually had someone like a department of the Pentagon looking into it.
It went from, hey, if you think about it, you're kind of crazy and we're going to make fun of you to, well, we're not sure what these things are. We didn't make it. We're not sure what it is. And there it is in the sky.
And it's so funny that not enough people are stopping and going, wait, what? Like, this is kind of big.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that most people you talk to, if you bring this up, even today, I think if you bring it up, it's kind of people like, not as much as it was 20 years ago, but there's still that slant to it. And it's amazing to me, was it last year or was it 2020? Drawing a blank, where they made the Pentagon made their announcement. They had to release some files, and they said, yeah, we don't know what these things are. That seemed to not cause any alarm with anyone, because it's either a fabrication, misidentification, something from outer space, or it's something from another country. And any of them would cause concern to me.
No matter what the answer is, we should be a little concerned, right? There are things that the Pentagon comes out and admits that are flying around, and military pilots occasionally encounter them, and they don't know what they are. But they do know that they can fly circles around what we have.
It's unbelievable. Some of the accounts that the pilots, the Air Force or the Navy pilots will provide stating that these objects or whatever that they're seeing on their radar and sometimes seeing with their own eyes are moving at speeds that they say there's nothing that they are aware of that is made on this planet that can maneuver in the ways that they're watching these things maneuver.
All right, so let's start at the beginning, right? So what's funny about this is you would think that I had tons of UFO books. I recently got rid of them in one of my last
moves. Why'd you do that?
You know, I had to admit, I was never going to read them again. And then moving from where I was to a smaller place. And so I had to look at it and say, you know, I'm not really going to read these books again and whatever. So it's time to get rid of them all. I didn't really catch on to this until 2020. But let's go back. December 17th, 2017, the print edition of the New York Times. Now, people are going to have different opinions about the New York Times. Not everybody digs it as a, you know, a news source, but even if you don't like it, you have to admit, if something's printed in the New York Times, somebody did some checking, right?
Right. I mean, I don't think anyone is ever going to accuse the New York Times of not being a credible source.
Now, they might have their own way of looking at things, right. And people may agree or disagree. Right. And that's fine. But anyway, the New York Times, here's a serious newspaper. You printed an article, section A, front page here. We're talking it's right there. It was by Helene Cooper, Ralph Blumenthal, and Leslie Keene. So it took three people to write this article. But it's a really big article. Real UFOs? ? Pentagon unit tried to know. Did you ever read this article?
Yes, I did read the article. I can't read it back to you verbatim. Was this the article that introduced us to Mr. Elizondo?
Yes. So this article revealed, you know, first of all, despite what the government had said for decades that, you know, this UFOs, there's nothing to this. It's all crap. But don't worry about it. We looked into it. No worries. Go back to work. They said, well, actually, no, we had a program and it was called ATIP, AATIP. The government, as we go through this, you'll see this. The government loves their acronyms.
And they can become very confusing.
Oh, very confusing. So the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, ATIP. Now, the head of that program, Luis Elizondo, ran ATIP up until 2017, right?
Right. I think that's what prompted his discussion with the New York Times.
Apparently, the funding was cut off at some point, but they continued to operate and continue to investigate. And what they did is they investigated older cases. They didn't have an apparatus to go out and rapid response, but they started digging through military records and they found some events that happened and they wanted to look into it. UFO, that's the word we know, right?
Right. And it's a word that prompts laughter from some people. The government is now using the acronym UAP, Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon.
You know, at first I was kind of like, what are you doing? But then I heard a very good explanation for this. You know, one is obviously the stigma. You know, when you say UFOs, like you said, people think, you know, it's a little out there. But then the other question is flying. As I've heard on a couple of interviews, flying is a very specific thing. He talks about how it's, you know, four principles, you know, weight, lift, drag, and thrust, and that's how something flies. And whereas these things don't seem to operate under the same principles, so maybe calling them flying is not accurate.
One of the, like we talked about Fravor, the pilot, that was one of the things he stated in the New York Times, that he could see no method of propulsion, which flies in the face of the flying under the definition Elizondo gave us.
Right. So they're unidentified. We don't know what they are. They're aerial. They're in the air.
Right.
Although not exclusively, which we'll get to. What can you call them? You can call them a phenomena. That's as accurate as anything, right? When the New York Times printed that article, Luis Elizondo was in the process, or right around then, he resigned from the Pentagon. And his reasoning for doing this, according to him, was that General David Petraeus, who was the head, whatever he was, he wasn't being briefed on any of the stuff that ATIP was bringing. They were bringing it to their chain of command, and their chain of command was just not doing anything.
Right. He kind of felt like his work was useless.
It's the stigma, right? I mean, we are so conditioned to laugh or snicker and UFO. It has this reputation that we all respond to. UFOs, crazy, that's nuts. People seeing stuff in the sky, getting abducted.
Oh, right. I mean, if most people, maybe even me, if somebody just said to me, hey, Steve, you know, I just got to tell you, yesterday I saw a UFO land near my backyard. You'd have your own thoughts about it. And that's a judgment a lot of us are going to have. I might have it. You know, Chris, if you call me and said you saw a UFO land on the beach, I'd kind of be excited about it. But part of me would say, did he really?
What were you smoking at the time? Yeah, no. And that's the thing. And for good reason, because also, let's face it, a lot of the stuff that people see in the sky is explainable.
Absolutely.
It's an aircraft. They're just seeing it from a weird angle. It's the planet Venus. I mean, the planet Venus gets mistaken for a UFO a lot because it's this bright light in the sky that seems to hover. Well, of course, it's a planet.
So, stays in the sky.
Right. So we don't see it all the time, though. And, you know, I've been using there's an app that I downloaded for my iPhone called, I think it's called Sky Guide. And I think there might be another one called Sky View.
Really cool.
Yeah, you just hold it up and it kind of shows, like it identifies stars and you can click on it and read about it. It's neat. So, yeah, so people see stuff, weather phenomena, right? Swamp gas.
Yeah, I've never seen swamp gas.
I don't even really know.
I don't know what it is. I remember that being a thing, but I've never seen it. I don't live near a swamp.
Yeah. I mean, after I eat a Taco Bell, there's a certain degree of swamp gas. But yeah, no, but there are weather phenomena. There are, like I said, aircraft. And I'm sure you know this from, you know, your background. Two people can see an event. And then when you ask them about it, they can give very different stories as to what actually happened.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely. I mean, eyewitness testimony is always the most compelling testimony. It's sometimes the most compelling evidence, if you're going to talk in the legal realm. But a lot of times, it's not as reliable as we all think it is.
That's very subjective.
Right.
Well, we all edit our memories. I often think about, there's stories I tell, right? And there's those stories that I'll pull out occasionally and tell of my youth. And I'm cognizant of the fact that over the years, I've cleaned them up a bit. I've made them flow better. I've changed the retelling of the story to have it have a bigger impact on my audience, whether I want them to laugh or whatever.
And then you remember it that way?
Oh, I remember that way. Like, that's how it happened, even though it probably didn't. Some aspects did. How sure are we of our memories of something that happened so long ago? We don't really, like, we think we remember, but do we?
Right. No. When I was in law school, the evidence class I was in, the professor did something really interesting. We were all just, you know, listening to his lecture, but he had set it up previously. And during the lecture, another student who I think was in a different class, he just barged into the class, screamed something out, and then left. And then we were supposed to write down what he was wearing and what he said. Not a lot of people wrote down the same things, but we all watched the same.
We remember it differently. We weren't paying attention. We were thinking about something else. We're imparting our own bias on whatever we see. Rejiggering the story in the telling to make it more interesting.
In the field I'm in, I have to talk to people that may or may not be witnesses to different things. And let's say for a car crash, for instance, this happens, I wouldn't say a lot, but it happens more frequently than you think. Somebody will be listed on a police report as a witness. So I'll call them, I'll talk to them, and they'll tell me what happened. Then I'll say, what drew your attention to the crash? And they say, well, it was when I heard it. I said, well, when did you first turn to look at it? Well, they said, when I heard it. I said, but you told me all this other stuff that happened before you heard it. Are you thinking that's what happened, or did you know that's what happened? And they say, well, that's what I'm thinking what happened. But they have to be asked.
People will fill the gaps in our memory, right? If we miss something or something didn't make sense. And that's another aspect of all this. Like, when you dig into it, it gets weird because it starts to get into human psychology and perception and all that. We don't like weird things as, like, people. Like, we like, like, most people like stuff to make sense.
Right. We like to be linear.
Yes.
And we like, I think there's many experiments that have been done. When our mind can't comprehend something, we'll turn it into something that we can.
Right. We'll translate it to some paradigm that we can accept. Most people think in very black and white terms. It's good. It's evil. It's white. It's black. It's they're from Earth. They're from space. I mean, there's that whole aspect of if we just jump to, hey, space aliens flying in from another planet, well, then some questions come up and it starts to weaken the argument. Again, I don't know, but, like, it's weirder than that. Like, it's,
oh, absolutely.
It's not just aliens, like Mars attacks coming here. Like, this stuff gets weird.
There was a time, you know, somebody would say, oh, I have this video of a UFO. And, you know, you look at it and you'd say, this thing's fake. So I would start to kind of lose any kind of interest I had as a hobby or whatever you want to call it. But then to me, what changed, I think YouTube changed a lot of things, because the vast, vast majority of the videos on YouTube, UFO sightings, probably can be easily explained. But there's some of them that cannot be. And I know I talked about it earlier in our discussion, but the Fravor, the recording of the radar of him chasing this is not just something somebody made up. This is a well-respected Navy pilot that was chasing this with another pilot. You know, they gave this story on 60 Minutes. These are respected people.
Luis Elizondo resigned from the Pentagon. It's fascinating to hear him talk about it, because he says he was getting frustrated because the reports he was making were not making it up to General Petraeus. It wasn't making it up the ladder. Like, it was being like somebody was just going, oh, that's nice, let's just put this away. But he realized that he could resign and he could address his resignation letter to General Petraeus, and nobody could keep that away from Petraeus. So in his resignation letter, which actually you can get online because he released it, he was saying, you know, hey, I'm getting very frustrated. We're collecting this information on a potential threat to security, and nobody seems to be taking it seriously. But through this, there were three videos that got leaked. Some say that Christopher Mellon, that's another name that we have to bring in. Christopher Mellon.
From a very, very wealthy family.
He's related to the Mellon Bank. So he does not need to hustle people for change, right? But he was the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Defense for Intelligence under George W. Bush and Obama. So this is like a Pentagon guy, like administration, political, doesn't matter to him. He's the defense guy. Most people think he leaked these videos. But shortly thereafter, the Pentagon confirmed these videos and released them themselves. I don't know how that works. But basically, the Pentagon said, no, these are real. This is not crap. This actually happened. So the story was 2004. It was the USS Nimitz Carrier Strike Group off the coast of Southern California. And on November 14th, 2004, I guess their nearby ship, the USS Princeton, which was part of the same strike group, they were tracking a bunch of unusual aircrafts. And it was showing up for a couple weeks prior. And they would detect things that would kind of show up at 80,000 feet. And then in a blink of an eye, those objects would be detected like 20,000 feet, like, or right above the surface. And they moved so fast that our guys couldn't figure it out. So they sent out some jets to check it out. Hey, go check out what this is. So Commander David Fravor and Alex Dietrich, she was the other pilot, and they each had a weapons officer.
So there's four people.
An FA-18 Super Hornet. These are pilots who the military trusts to fly hundreds of million dollar vehicles. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you crash an F-18 Hornet, it's a chunk of change.
They're some of the most well-trained pilots in the world.
So they fly out to where the disturbance is, and this is what's changed. You used to hear these anonymous stories of, hey, this pilot saw this. I'm not going to tell you his name because he doesn't want his name. So when you hear that, and it's like, okay, so a pilot, you're telling me a pilot says he saw this. Well, where is he? Well, he doesn't want to go on the record. All right, what am I going to do with that? Right? So in this case, David Fravor, who you said he lives where?
My understanding is he lives in Windham.
Him, Alex Dietrich, and I don't think the weapons officers I don't think their names have come out.
I have not seen one interview with them named.
So they fly out there and they see a calm ocean. But there's a certain part of it that's like roiling, like activity under the water.
Right.
And this vehicle or object that is about the same size as his plane, right? I believe he said it was like around the same size as his thing. Kind of moving over the water. Looks like a Tic Tac Mint.
Yeah.
And it's bouncing around. I guess Fravor flies down to get a closer look. It's hard to visualize because when you're like a jet, like it's not like a helicopter where you can just lower. So you gotta like fly. But he's circling down to get a better look. But anyway, he sees this thing and he sees this thing kind of mimicking his actions. And then it zips off super fast. And a few seconds later, I believe it was the Nimitz, picks it up again 60 miles away.
Right. It's the same object.
It's the same object. And that was at what's called the cat point. It's a point where Fravor and Dietrich, like, I guess when you go up in a plane like that, there's this point, then you fly to this point. Obviously, if you're in war, you engage. But like, hey, if nothing else happens, you're going to fly here, then you're going to fly here, then you're going to fly here, then you're going
to
fly back.
Yeah, it went to the point they were going to go to.
So this thing knew where they were going to be.
Either that or it's just, this is a really crazy coincidence.
I guess. That could, I mean, you never know, right? I guess it's that's part of the question.
Although the older I get, the more I realize there aren't a lot of coincidences.
That's true. Yeah, we could. There's a whole discussion there about coincidences, synchronicity, when things happen, you know. But and it zoomed off. So then they sent out a second wave of fighters from the Nimitz, and that's where Lieutenant Chad Underwood. So he's the one that his plane had the FLIR one, I guess they call it, Raytheon Advanced Targeting Forward-Looking Infrared Pod, the most advanced sensors and powerful tracking systems on the market at that point. And it catches this object. You can go online and check these out. You know, the three UFO videos released. Oh, yeah. And are they this high def footage of a craft? No, they're not. They're sensor footage. But a plane is picking it up.
Oh, yeah. It's interesting, too, because on the videos that I've seen, at least, you can hear the radio contact between the pilot and the Nimitz. And the conversations they're having do not sound like people that are bored at all. They're pretty excited about this because they don't know what's happening. These are the people that we trust because they've been trained so well to protect our country. It's interesting that somebody like him will come out and say this, and some people, they don't want to give the weight to that testimony that I think it deserves. Because it's one of two things, one of three things. I've heard some skeptics say, oh, it's a reflection off the water. Well, you know what? If that's a reflection off the water, and those are the highest trained pilots we have, we're in trouble.
Right.
If we're chasing around reflections on the water, right? Or that, you know, it's something from another country monitoring us. Well, that concerns me.
Yeah.
It concerns me a lot that nobody's looking into this.
Right.
Or it's something that we don't know what it is. It's something. It's one of those things.
It could be, you know, obviously it's been postulated that it's top secret aircraft that the U.S. is working on secretly and they're testing it. But, you know, the point was made, which is a good one, is like the U.S. government's not really going to test experimental aircraft in an area where other parts of the military are running operations. Like, that's dangerous.
It seems quite dangerous.
Right. You know, like, they would test this stuff in a place like Area 51, you know, Nevada, like somewhere a test range. Area 51, I mean, doesn't that imply that there are like Area 50, 49, 48, 47?
Yeah, where are all the other areas?
I've never heard anyone talk about any area but 51.
Although that's a very large space there, so I don't know how it gets.
Could there be sub areas?
Might be.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
We gotta investigate that. It's just funny that people want a credible source. You know, I'm not gonna believe that guy. I'm not gonna believe that trucker because he's, as you know, I want somebody, you know, of some stature to tell me. And you say, well, you know, here's a Navy pilot. It's been flying for a long time, commander, you know, all that. And they go, well, I don't know. He didn't know what he's seeing. You know, it's right. Like, it's okay. Well, what do you want? Do you want the evidence or do you, you know?
Right.
I love it when people say, I don't know, there's no evidence of this stuff. And you'd say to them, you know, I could say like, well, you know, do you look into the UFO topic much? And they go, nah, I don't deal with that shit. And you go, well, how would you see any evidence if it was there, if you ignore it?
Right. And so, a lot of commercial airline pilots who were Navy or Air Force pilots before they became commercial pilots, and they give accounts of different things too. I don't know how you can keep discounting everyone's testimony. 10 people say something. It doesn't mean they're right all 10 times, but it's at least worth looking into.
There's weight behind it, the fact that they're, that 10
these are the people that are up there. Right. I'm not up there. Are you?
Yeah, no. I mean, that's,
when I'm on the sky, I'm usually sleeping or reading a book or watching a movie.
We've been trained to ridicule that topic. Like, we think it's like we came up with that all on our own, but I don't know, when you look back in history, there was a time when they took this stuff a little bit more seriously, like World War II area, like stuff flying around was taken seriously.
It was. And, you know, you bring up World War II, there's a lot of people that believe how World War II was fought, if you believe it, might have prompted UFOs to come down and say, what's going down over here?
Yeah.
What's with Hiroshima and Nagasaki? What's going down? Because after World War II is kind of when this whole thing exploded in terms of at least what we know now in the modern age. I think if you look back in time, There's recorded things of maybe people seeing things in the past. But again, it's not the same as it is now, where everyone's got a cell phone, everyone's got access to YouTube. Back then, it was just what someone said, and someone could just be easily put aside.
Yeah, there's videos out there of quote-unquote UFOs, right? But, I mean, you don't even need very good resources. Somebody with a half-decent computer can download some software and create some pretty astounding visual effects. Honestly, any video I see, I take with a grain of salt.
Oh, yeah. No, I do too. But, I mean, if there's 1,000 of them, maybe 3 of them have some credibility. But there's at least access to something that wasn't available to us years ago, in terms of I can see what somebody else recorded in India. It's kind of crazy when you think about it.
I mean, that's been one of the arguments too, though, is like everybody walks around with a cell phone in their pocket now. Why aren't we seeing videos of these things all the time? And again,
well, because everyone's looking at their cell phones.
That's true too. Yeah. How often do people look up? So that was in 2017 when this story came out, and I did not grasp onto this until 2020. It was during the pandemic when I didn't have much else going on.
Yeah.
And I suddenly found this article about, wait, what's going on with UFOs?
That's when I started looking at it.
So it didn't make that big of a splash in 2017. Let's move forward a little bit, right? But then there's another one, 60 Minutes. I didn't even know this thing was still on.
All I remember was I haven't watched 60 Minutes in a long time with any type of regularity, but I always remember it coming on as a commercial before the last football game.
That's right, because I think it started 7 p.m. on Sundays.
Right.
It
had something to do with when the football game would end. I know it's on other than football, but.
Right, it would get thrown. Depending on the game, if the last game of football on Sunday ran over, it would screw up.
Right.
60 Minutes, and old people watch it. That was kind of always the thing I vibed from it, was like Andy Rooney.
Yeah, my dad would tell me to be quiet.
60 minutes is on. This blows my mind. So season 53.
Okay.
53 seasons.
Long-running show.
That's a long-running show. I don't know, that even beats The Simpsons out. That's crazy. episode 35, May 2021. So you got 60 minutes doing. Now, they didn't spend the whole hour on UAPs.
Yeah, it was one segment.
Yeah, it was. So they talked about facial recognition. They talked about UAPs and Rafael Nadal. I don't know who that is. I probably am
a tennis player.
Oh, is that who that is? Yeah. Okay. So apparently it was a profile in him. So between facial recognition and tennis,
they all seem to go together.
It's all matches up. So the very serious 60 Minutes correspondent, he did a little segment, and they talked to Lieutenant Ryan Graves, who is an F-18 pilot, and he saw, you know, talk about the UAPs they detected over Virginia Beach, southeast of Virginia Beach in 2014. And they talked to Luis Elizondo, Christopher Mellon. Look at, you know, I highly recommend people YouTube that. The whole 60 Minutes segment is up there. It's interesting. And so I guess Ryan Graves says something at one point that the correspondent, Bill Whitaker, kind of like blows him away, where he says, we were seeing these things every day for at least a couple of years.
Right, I remember.
And Bill Whitaker was like, wait, a couple of years? And he's like, yeah. So, like, they're detecting these weird things out there, and yeah.
right. And like we just talked about, what is it? Why are people not interested in what it is? I mean, even if you don't believe it's from somewhere else besides this Earth, right? Because it could be something else. Well, why is it something that people aren't interested in? I'd want to know why the military keeps seeing things flying around outside of our borders, our coast.
They're detecting these things flying through restricted airspace.
Right.
If it had a Russian flag or a Chinese flag on the side of it,
it'd be an act of war.
We would be freaking out. Right. I believe, actually, going back to the that Tic Tac 2004, I believe Commander Fravor said that it seemed to be actively jamming his system.
Right.
Actively jamming is an act of war.
It is.
So something was flying circles around our best aircraft and our best pilots with technology, apparently, that we don't even know how it works.
Right. I did read that Fravor did state that when he was asked about what he thought about that aircraft, he said, I don't know what it was, but I'd love to fly it.
He did say that. Yeah, true pilot. The amount of energy required to do some of those maneuvers, we can't even fathom. Going from 80,000 feet and zipping down to like the surface of the water in a second, nothing we have even comes close.
The information I have, at least, is that the human body couldn't handle that.
Right. And then that opens up the question, you know, why do we automatically have to assume that there's like little green men in there? I mean, it could be
a drone.
Could be drones, could be systems. That's a big part of this, is there's not going to be one explanation like sometimes people see drones. Sometimes,
right.
Sometimes we do see stuff from, you know, test things from China or Russia, or maybe we do sometimes see our own stuff that we just, nobody told anyone else about, you know, it does happen.
Right.
Our government isn't exactly like an open book, even with each other.
Right. But even if it's a drone, you think that the Navy would know whether or not a drone like that could exist. It wouldn't create such alarm that the way it was moving. A drone that was made, let's say, in the United States. Do you think that somebody would have an idea of that kind of technology?
The other argument is that some of these reports go way, way, way back. Wouldn't we have seen that technology surface by now? Like if right. Even 2004, if there was a top secret technology in 2004, well, now it's like 18 years later, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So 18 years later, like one would think that, is it still secret?
Well, that's what they point to, right? When you talk about, you know, the Phoenix lights, which were seen from several different towns and cities prior to even getting to Phoenix. And they're kind of slow moving over the city, which you can go online and see the videos. And a lot of people point now to, oh, well, you know, it kind of looks like a stealth bomber, right? Because of the shape of it. But stealth bombers, they weren't flying that low, and they don't have those lights.
Who was the governor of Arizona at that point?
Oh.
I can't remember his name.
He made fun of it, and he had somebody come out with a costume on.
Yeah, so he had a press conference about the Phoenix lights, you know, what they were. And then he had somebody come out in an alien suit and the press laughed and everybody chuckled and don't worry about it.
Now he apologizes for that.
And he admits that he saw it.
Yeah.
And it puzzled the crap out of him as well. It's how conditioned everybody was to not talk about this stuff. So a lot of people is like, well, if it's true, why doesn't the government just come out and tell us, right? All right. One is, could we handle it?
Right.
We're fragile. Beings. We like to think it's all about us, right? That's our story. But also, for the years that this was being ridiculed, right? Let's say back when, 1980s, right? So you're a military person and you saw this thing and you reported it because that's what you should do. And you were mocked and you were made fun of and you were called crazy. And next thing you know, you're losing your job or, you know, your marriage is breaking up. Your life goes into a toilet spin because you talked about this thing that when you talk about it, you sound crazy. Now, years later, the government comes out and says, well, you know, those things actually do exist. So we would just kind of keep it on the QT. Well,
sorry, man.
Yeah, sorry. Our bad. Like,
yeah.
Are you kidding me? Can you imagine if you're one of these people who like saw it, reported it, is considered, you know, was considered a loony for years and years, and then years, you know, a bunch of years later, the government comes out and goes, well, you know, we did actually see him. We didn't want to frighten you people, so we just pretended like you were crazy.
Right. Yeah. We took your report down. We looked into it, and sorry, man.
There's a lot of reasons why the government wouldn't be chomping at the bit to get this out to everybody, but they are releasing stuff slowly but surely.
They are, because they've been kind of forced to, because it's been kept under wraps. It was last year, right? Yeah, it was last year in June when the first release was made. And I was kind of excited about it.
Oh, I was.
Because I said to myself, what is this? What are they going to be releasing? And then when they said, we are aware of unidentified aerial phenomenon that we're not sure where it's from, it sparked almost no interest.
None.
Honestly, and I'm not saying I think everyone needs to believe in one thing or the other, because you should just take the evidence and think about it.
Whatever it is.
When you say, why doesn't the government tell us? Well, they did. Okay? And nobody cares.
Nobody cares. So June 20th, so mid-June, the government, there's some legislation passed saying, hey, the government, you have to send a report to Congress by end of June.
Right. Like
that was out there. And so on June 25th, 2021, they delivered a report to Congress. And the unclassified version got released to the press. A whopping 9 pages. Mm. Yeah, so the 9 pages, right? And the headlines from most you can find. You can look at the report. Like, you can see the 9 pages and read them. It's interesting, right? They don't say aliens. They don't but they do say there was like 143 instances of unidentified aerial phenomena that they investigated. And out of that 100, I believe it was 143, they identified one. It was a balloon. They figured that one out. The other 142, no idea.
You don't know what it is.
We don't know. Now, there's three possible things. They say in there, there's three buckets that we put it into. Is this our own tech? Is this secret U.S. black projects? Yeah. Are we just, tripping over our own tail here, right? Bucket two, is it our enemy? Is it China? Is it Russia? Is it a foreign adversary, a foreign ally? Is it somebody, playing around up there and we're just coming? And then bucket three, which is other. And so all 142 of the instances they didn't identify, they put in the other bucket.
Right.
I believe it also said that we find no evidence of extraterrestrials, but we can't rule it out either.
Right.
And then the next day the headline was, the government finds no evidence of extraterrestrials.
Right. Well, there is no evidence.
There's no evidence.
Based on what they found, but just checking a box other kind of leaves a lot of things open. Everyone said, is the Kardashians on? I don't care.
That's right. Let's let's get back to the Kardashians. Or it's so funny that, like you said, like we just went, all right, cool.
Yeah.
So, hearings, congressional hearings being done on Tuesday, May 17th. This is huge, right?
I think it's a big deal.
Yeah, this is going to be the first time something like this has happened in, what are they saying, 50 years?
50 years.
The 70s, right?
Yeah.
So they did something back in the day called Project Blue Book, where they looked at the UFO issue. And at the end of that, they came out and they said, well, there's really nothing here. Don't worry about it. And then we forgot about it for another 50 years. But now things are happening.
Just as an aside, the 70s don't feel like 50 years ago.
No, they don't. I still think of the 80s as about 20 years ago. That's just how I, like when somebody says, 1980 something, I say, oh, about 20 years ago. No, it's not.
Right. Yeah, somebody says, well, that was 2005. I say, that wasn't that long ago. Oh, wait a minute, it was 17 years ago. So what's happening with these hearings, Chris?
Congress passed I think it was the Senate, they passed a resolution basically establishing a new UAP office in the Pentagon, right?
Yes, under the Department of Defense.
Right. So I think that I think in a funny way too. I think the Pentagon sort of did an end run around this, and they established their own office before that amendment went through, so they could already have it on the ground.
Right. And they were trying to get around, I think, probably the reporting issue that came up when the office was then put through by the Senate and the Congress.
Right. Traditionally, the Pentagon, I don't think, has been as forthcoming with information about this. And nobody was really asking them.
Correct. It makes me at least wonder why. Because if they're being forced to report things, that's great. If they're not being forced to report things, it seems like we're just not getting the information.
When the Pentagon was running that UFO program, ATIP is what has been reported, but there's some confusion there because there was also something called OSAP, which was the Advanced Aerospace Weapons Systems Applications Program. So it gets really confusing. When you start looking into this issue, it muddies the water even further. But the reality of it is, cut to the core, for a bunch of years, the Pentagon had a program, whether it was called OSAP or ATIP, does it really matter? And they were looking into this issue. And they determined that there's something here, and that's what the New York Times reported back in 2017. Yeah, so this hearing on Tuesday, I know there's two parts to it. There's a public part that people can watch, but then after that hearing, there's going to be a closed-door hearing that you won't get to watch. So there's going to be a lot of information transmitted to Congress and us on Tuesday.
And what exactly do you think the purpose of this first hearing is going to be?
They're going to be talking to only two witnesses, Ronald Moultrie. He's the Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence and Security, and Scott Bray. He's the Deputy Director of Naval Intelligence. So from what I understand, I mean, it's going to be a lot of questions of like, what are you doing to collect this data? I don't, you know, they're not gonna wheel out an alien body, alien autopsy for us to. Did you ever see that on Fox, by the way?
I did. That was a long time
back
ago.
Back in the '90s, the X-Files days. Yes. It's something. But anyway, so they're not going to be doing anything like that. They're going to be talking about collection of data. It's going to be one of these things where I bet you some people are going to listen to it or hear about it and not understand the significance of it. It may not be the wow factor that people want, but for those who listen to it a certain way and read between the lines, kind of like the UFO report that came out last June.
Yes, Chris. And I think that if you watch the hearings or listen to the hearings or read about these hearings, I think the main thing to keep in mind is that there was a task force that was put together the end of last year. And that's part of what this has to do with the Department of Defense. And that task force was put together to sync, as quoted in an article in Politico, September 25th, 2021, by Brian Bender. It says the main task of this office is to synchronize and standardize the collection, reporting, and analysis of incidents regarding unidentified aerial phenomenon. And they're going to do that across the Department of Defense. That's some pretty heavy stuff.
Yeah, and it's been all Navy pilots. What's really interesting about this whole thing since it's broke, and talking 2017, do you know who's been conspicuously absent in all of the discussions about unidentified aerial phenomena?
Who?
The Air Force.
You're right.
They're not talking to anyone from the Air Force.
No.
The Air Force had very little involvement in that that report that came out last June, the Preliminary Assessment, Unidentified Aerial Phenomena. It was a nine-pager that was released to the public on June 25th, 2021. It ended up being the unclassified version was later released by the blackvault.com. They do good work, the Black Vault, in FOIA requests, freedom of information. So they basically got the unclassified version, heavily redacted, heavily blacked out, but it ended up being 23 pages. And again, some people have said that there were addendums that made it as big as 70 pages. But all that information, very little of it came from the Air Force.
Why do you think?
I think the Air Force is holding the keys to a lot of the information in this.
That would be very interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens at these hearings, not to bring it right back to that. But I am very interested I'm interested in the hearing itself, but I'm interested to see what comes of it after the hearing.
Oh, what actions or it will spur. Yeah, no, I think one of the big things is that piece of legislation that got passed end of last year mandated that the Pentagon had to establish that office, which they did ahead of time, which, you know, kind of went around the spirit of the law, because that law said that they need to establish an office with very specific goals and stuff. So they established one before it, and that sort of took over what the other one was supposed to do. So it gets all confusing. But basically, they're required to report to Congress on a regular basis.
Yes, yes. I think it's a requirement for once a year.
At least. I think at least. Several times per year they have to. I think that once per year they actually have to do something public. Actually,
yes, that's what I meant. I'm sorry.
I think there's another big report coming out, the one that came out last year in June, coming out in around Halloween of this year.
Hopefully it gets a little more fanfare than the last one did.
Well, the last one was the big headline was the government finds no evidence of extraterrestrial aliens. And what the headlines didn't say is the report also said, well, we can't rule it out either.
Right. Well, what they said is we don't know what it is.
So apparently the questions for this hearing that are coming up on Tuesday the 17th. So they got from what I understand, the two people testifying got the questions in advance.
All right.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that they won't get called out if their answers to those questions, if their prepared answers to those questions aren't satisfactory. Because if you think about it, it kind of makes sense, right? I mean, you get these two guys, Pentagon guys in front of you, right? You don't want to hit them with all sorts of random questions because they're not going to have the information at their fingertips. I mean, these guys manage a huge portfolio of things. So they have to send them the questions in advance so they can prepare the information needed for their answer.
I think I would have liked it better if they just told them the topics.
Well, I imagine they'll tell them the questions. Obviously, no one can predict the follow-up questions
based
on their answers. So that's where the magic's going to happen. So the first question asked by any congressperson in this thing, the witnesses will have known the question was coming. The real fun will be when they respond, if that congressperson then follows up where that goes, kind of similar to the Senator Kirsten Gillibrand when she called out. There was a guy going for the top spot. He was like NSA or something. He was basically getting appointed to a high intelligence position. And she asked him a question about how they would handle UAPs. And his answer was just kind of like noncommittal. Like, well, I don't know anything about the issue, but if I get confirmed, I will certainly look into said issue and, if appropriate, take the necessary actions to. And she said, oh, okay, so you're not familiar with this issue. So please research it and get back to me with answers to my questions in writing before you're confirmed. And he went, what?
Right, he didn't like that.
So Chris Mellon, he's the one, he used to be basically Secretary of Defense under Bush and Obama. Mm-hmm. He's just a government guy. He's not a partisan guy in any way. He posted an interesting thing on Twitter where he said, one of the critical questions for the upcoming House UAP hearing is, do we have evidence of intelligently controlled unknowns in orbit or in space?
That's a great question.
Well, and Chris Mellon is in a position to at least have some idea of what the answer to that question would be. So that's the interesting part, is how are they going to get around? Again, they're not going to be wheeling out alien bodies, right? But if we come out of this thing with the government really saying, again, there's stuff flying around, it outflies us, we don't know what it is, like, you would hope that people will get a little more invested in finding out, right? This will be... like I said, it's nothing groundbreaking, but potentially something, the seeds of something groundbreaking. I'm going to be listening and watching very carefully, and I'm sure others are going to be parsing every question asked, every answer, you know, every reply, everything is going to be parsed. And then they'll have the private, the secret briefing that we won't get to watch, and then it will be interesting to hear those congresspeople, what their takeaway is. Obviously, they can't talk about what they heard behind closed doors. But, you know, there was one that said at one point with the reports that they had already saw that, you know, felt shaken. Like, there's been reports of, like, some congresspeople, like, saying things like, yeah, my worldview is shook. Like, shouldn't we be, like, at least a little curious as to, like, what exactly was that shook your worldview, sir?
Yes, yes.
But you know what? That's as good a place as any to wrap this one up. So, okay. But there's much more to be said on this, right?
There is.
It's getting weird. It's getting as weird as it has been. It's getting weirder.
It's getting weirder. Stay tuned.
So we hope, we brought some knowledge to you, or at least gave you some avenues to explore. Like I said, 60 minutes. Google it.
Or you have to check it out.
You got to check it out. You'll watch it and you'll go, huh.
Yeah. I'm generally a very reasonable person, I think. Sometimes I'm not. But I can't see how anyone can watch that piece on 60 Minutes and not at least have some questions.
Yeah. And we'll be talking about this in the future. The press... they're not really doing their job on this regard. They're kind of letting a lot of stuff go that otherwise we should be like, wait, what? What was that? Excuse me, what did you say?
Well, that's why I know the New York Times can be thought of as having a slant on some of their stories, which is fine. But I do believe them to be a credible source of information. And they are one of the only real credible sources of information that looks into this.
Yeah.
Right? Because I think that a lot of other news outlets don't really do it because it doesn't sell.
But the funny thing is it does sell. Like,
well, you know
when,
what I mean.
When UFO programs, I think 60 Minutes realized that was like a really highly rated. Let's face it. How many of you people are really tuning into 60 minutes each week? I don't know.
I don't.
I'm sure it's a perfectly fine news show, but I'm just saying. Yeah. But their UFO segment got a lot of traction, like got a lot of views. And I believe they're working on a sequel to that.
Well, I'll be looking forward to watching it.
Yeah, there's more to be said on this, but you know what? We're going to leave that there for now. So I'm Chris.
I'm Steve.
And yeah, we've just talked about some not so deep shit.
Maybe a little bit.
Well, maybe deep shit. But until next time, yeah, we'll be back at you. Have a good one.
Have a good one. Thank you.